Ebenezer family and friends. I just want to thank you for celebrating with us today our 122nd Founders Day. Yes, Ebenezer has been established 122 years. And I am just blessed to be a part of this legacy that God has allowed us to have. And we've got some special presentations a little later, being able to talk to some of our longest standing members. One of them, our oldest one, is 102 years old, Mother Goins, and she's going to be a part of that presentation as well as others. But we're just so grateful for 122 years. Can you just clap and just give God a hand clap of praise? If you're on the chat, just put those claps, emoticons, and those hand raise for 122 years. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory. He's brought us from a long, long way. I looked at the history, and it was a little wooden a building that was out in the field that God brought Ebenezer to where we are now and to our virtual platform that we have, our teachings on Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. And now we have a Thursday in-person teaching, and we're just so grateful for God and what He is doing within Ebenezer. Thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services and our, of course, 10 o'clock online. And I am just blessed that the Lord is saving souls. He's delivering. He's adding to the body as He sees fit. I also want to thank you for your giving. God has really moved on our hearts. Just want to read you the scripture from 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." We've really encapsulated that within our lives, and just striving to give and purposing in our heart. I was talking to one of our members the other day, and they were talking about how they purpose in their heart and really focus in and strive to hear God as He leads them in their giving. And I am so grateful for the Holy Spirit that dwells inside a believer. We want to encourage you as you're going forth to reach out to share the gospel to those that are around. Maybe you are a visitor, not a part of our local fellowship at Ebenezer, but you want to find more about Ebenezer. Please, we have some information on how to become a member, and our first-time visitors, our we call them QR codes. And so you can actually take a picture of those or use your camera. And the link, if you have a smartphone, it'll go to that actual website, to that information on the website. So we try to do all we can just to reach out and bless people and encourage them, especially in this time of so many transitions. I want to make a few announcements that are some things that are coming up. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Yes, next Sunday, the second Sunday, is Mother's Day. And we want to celebrate our mothers. And so we have some special speakers that will be Ebenezer and on virtual, our virtual platform. At 8:45, we're going to have Minister Laverne Ray. She's going to be speaking into our lives. And then at our 10 o'clock, our virtual online service, we're going to have Pastor Tammy Ingram. She's from the Crossroads Methodist, United Methodist Church, and others. I think she pastors another church also. Sister Tammy is just going to come. Ingram is going to give us a blessed word of the Lord on our virtual platform. And at 10:45, we've got Minister Mother Mary Irvin. She'll be speaking into our lives. So there's so much at our 8:45 in-person, 10 o'clock online, and 10:45 in-person service. God is so, so, so good. Also, being the first Sunday, we celebrate communion together. And I want you to go ahead and get those articles, get prepared for after the sermon. We're going to really get into thinking more about Christ and what He's done for us. Well, prepare your hearts as we seek the Lord together. I'll see you soon.
Okay, I'm Ellis Mebbin Jr. My age now is 81 years, and I joined around 14 or 15 years.
Marion Ruth Kelly, and I am 85 years old. I think I was about 30. So it was in 1965.
My name is James Robert Rud, I couldn't, you don't have a car, do you? Well, I'm 85. My wife and I have been there at that church since 62.
I used to be a member up in Methodist, so then we finally convinced my mother to be at Ebenezer Baptist.
When I first came to Ebenezer, everyone was so nice to me. They treated me, they just treated me real nice, and they welcomed me. And I felt love here at Ebenezer and peace here at Ebenezer.
Well, Ebenezer was, you know, they received me. You had all of the older people when I started going there that most of them moved on. I had the joy of knowing that I was closer to the church.
Jesse Walker. I'm 95.
My fondest memory of Ebenezer is what we used to call Big Meeting Week Sunday. And everybody was out here under the trees, eating out of each other's trunk.
Oh, we had everything. We ate outside, and we would just eat anything we wanted, you know, because we'd be in line. And we'd go all around the table, all around different people's table, and all like that, and we would do that. And we would eat and eat and eat. And it would be good food. It was good, too.
It was still in 1965 when my son, Deacon Kelly, he was 11 years old.
Yeah, he was a little young fella. He was following us older people, you know, when we were ushering. That's how he was. That's where he kind of got his start from.
Lucretia
what?
Goins.
And how old are you?
Oh, let me see. I'm over 200.
Do you remember when you first became a member of Ebenezer?
I can't remember. It's too long ago. It's a long story.
Well, they had some real good preachers, you know, that would come. When I went there, there was Reverend James McCoy. You ever heard that?
Reverend McCoy was, I forgot, Reverend McCoy was the pastor when we came. And Reverend Tarpley, he was here too.
Reverend Harrison.
Yeah, that's it. And Harrison baptized me.
Okay, yeah.
All right. And yes, our everlasting.
Reverend Gladney was here for 27 years. And after his retirement, we were without a pastor for about 2 years. And God answered our prayer, because I've always said that when he sent Howard Lee Wood Jr. to our church, he sent us one of the best that he had.
After I become a member and all, I become an usher. See, that's what I was doing before I was called and started preaching.
I love joining the usher board. I really like ushering. And I did that. I ushered for, 27 years. And so then I, said I let somebody else younger try their skills, see what they could do.
You seen all this where they're building up there? Would you believe that used to be a riding stable?
Wow.
And yours truly used to work up there part-time?
And they had beautiful horses. You had jumping horses and trotting horses, and they all were standing on the church porch. We had to pay for nothing because we were looking for free.
There was no baptismal pool in there.
We were baptized at Shiloh Baptist Church because at that time it wasn't a baptism here at Ebenezer.
You never did see Ebenezer when it was a wood frame, did you?
Mm-mm, no,
you,
sir.
You've seen bricks.
Right.
That because Pastor Gladney was involved in that business.
And we really had mothers of the church call your son and stuff like that, and that you just thought they was family with.
Lord, I know you've been so good. It was so amazing.
But and if a person was sick or anything shut in, the mothers of the church went there and visited, brought food, and just seen, looked after each
and
other.
He wrote a letter until they made the sun. And he said that sun is blazing in the heavens. The light that was left from the making of the sun, he gathered on a shiny ball and he floated against the dark, the spangling night with the moon and stars.
We went on field trips, like the Carowind and Bush Garden, and my children, some of them were still small, and they enjoyed it, and I did too, because we didn't go on a lot of vacations, and that was just nice. And
what can I think about Ebenezer?
Yeah, what do you think about Ebenezer?
Ooh, it's wonderful, wonderful. I hope we can keep it just like it is.
I would say as we go into the future, that as in the past, that the old saints was for Ebenezer, not for personal reasons or personal recognition. We, as the old people, as I say, need to look down and reach out for our younger people and bring them up.
Pastor Wood, that you will, I know you will continue to be led by God to preach the word, the truth of the gospel. And I pray that all of the deacons and all of the members will continue to grow strong and stay with the Lord, that God may guide them and lead them in the way that they should go, and all of the members too.
It's not like it used to be. Things have changed. Well, God knows it's going to be changed.
You've got to hold on to, you know, keep in touch with the Lord himself, because that's how we're going to make it.
I'm proud of my children thinking about Ebenezer.
I just pray that Ebenezer will continue to be the church that it has always been, loving and friendly to everybody. That the church by the side of the road that is a friend to all mankind everywhere. And just keep God first and last, for he's everything. That's what I pray.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am going to be reading from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 18. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to keep as his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. May the Lord add a blessing to his great word.
Amen. Take your burdens to Jesus. Your burdens he'll bear. Tell him your sorrow, your sorrows he'll share. He's waiting to bless you with his outstretched hand. Tell him your trouble, he will understand. So take your burdens to Jesus, your burdens he'll bear. Tell him your sorrow, your sorrows to share. heavy, your load is hard. Keep on praying, put your trust in the Lord. He's waiting to bless you with his outstretched hand.
Closer walk with the Lord. That's what we desire. I love that refrain. It says, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. As we've been in this series, I pray that you have been encouraged with your walk with the Lord. And today we're going to get back into that same subject matter as we move to another portion of 1 Samuel. And I want you to focus in on that 17th chapter and that 34th verse, 1 Samuel 17 and 34. Before we get started today in this teaching, I ask you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I thank you so much for your immense grace and mercies, Lord, for allowing us to get closer with you. Lord, thank you for just another day, even as we celebrate 122 years of Ebenezer being established or this local fellowship. And we know it was nobody but you using so many different people to progress us along. Lord, thank you for the many souls that have been saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. I pray for those that are viewing and listening in now, those that may not be saved. Please let it be their day that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Would you cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Holy Spirit, we need you. I need you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at that 1 Samuel chapter 17 and 34th verse. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. I want to speak from the title today, Walking with the Lord, as simply walking with the Lord. I encourage you as you walk with the Lord that you think about all the wonderful things God is doing to keep us in his path. Time frame today's lesson is about 100 BC. So much has happened to even get us to this very, very critical teaching, but very familiar teaching to so many of David and Goliath. God is actually in this progress of time, raising up a new king. Remember King Saul, he has transgressed against God. Started off as a good king, but in his kingship and even the popularity, he felt that he really didn't need God, that he could do it his own way. Therefore, he's gone against God's prophet. He's gone against God's mandates. And now God is transitioning this shepherd boy, David, into the position of king. But David is unknown. The anointing of Samuel has been upon him. And now we see the workings of God in his life in preparation for this showdown with Goliath, this giant. Many theologians hold that David is about 20 years old when we pick up this scene. His brothers are on the battlefield, and as much as a lot of the men, Israelites, they're fighting against the Philistines. Goliath comes out. He's a Philistine. He's huge. He's a giant. Some says that he's upwards of 12 feet tall, approximately in that area. I mean, this is a huge, huge, huge giant of a guy. And David comes and hears about. And so the Israelites' troops are really stagnant. They don't want to move at this point. Nobody wants to fight this giant. And David hears about it because his dad told him just to take some food to refresh the troops and his brothers. And he finds out that King Saul is looking for someone to go out and fight. And guess what? 20-year-old David, he accepts this challenge. His brothers are ridiculing him, but it gets back to the king that David wants to go out and fight. Hence, we pick up 1 Samuel 17:32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. That's Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Here's our first point, faith to fight. Yes, faith to fight. Now this is so important as we think about David, about 20 years old. He's like, "I'll go." All of these grown fighting war men were afraid to go against this Philistine. Even King Saul, he didn't want to go out there. He's like, "David, you're young. You don't know anything about war. This guy has been trained from his youth because of his strength and his height and his power to be a warmonger in a sense." Notice 1 Samuel 17:32 again. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." There's an encouraging word that's coming from David to all of these people, these Israelites that have been made fearful of this giant. God just put some words on my heart, and I want to get it. It says, "Our walk with the Lord should be so intense that we are willing to be used in a moment's notice." This is David at this point. He's willing to be used by God, even though the enemy is out there, and it doesn't look good for David nor the Israelites. He knows what God can do. I remember in my military time in the service, we always had to keep a bag, and that bag was packed with certain critical things that in a moment's notice that I could get a call, I could be awakened out of my sleep, and I would have to go to any place in the world, and I would have to have everything that I would need within that bag. As Christians, we must understand God wants us to be used in the same respect, that with our armor on and walking in the Spirit and getting closer to the Lord, that God can ask us at any time to do anything for him or go any place, and we are prepared because we as Christians and believers, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Are you willing to be used of the Lord in an amazing way at any time? Peter writes about being ready in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Anybody know that? The enemy wants to trip us up. He wants to pull us off the path. 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. As we walk with the Lord, it's so important to know that he produces this faith on the inside of us to fight that we're seeing in David. Notice 1 Samuel 17:33 again. It says, Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. We need to expect more from our young people. There ought to be some shouts of praise. And I know there's some that are listening, viewing in right now, and you're waiting for your time and your opportunity. But I'm saying your opportunity and your time is right now. God wants to use you. You may say, Pastor, can you give me a scripture that shows that he wants to use the young people in this season, in this time, just as he used David? 1 John 2:14 talks about this. He says, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who which was from the beginning. I have written to young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And notice this, and you have overcome the wicked one. Can I say that second part again? I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. We need more overcomers, young people that are overcomers, that are willing to stand and say, God, not use me down the line, but use me right now in my strength. Use me right now that I can glorify you in my life. Look at 1 Samuel 17:34, walking with the Lord. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. 1 Samuel 17:36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Here's another point. I have a testimony. That should identify with somebody out there. I have a testimony. Do you have a testimony? Yeah, we have to remember what the Lord has done in my heart. I told you, God's just been putting some words on my heart as I was studying and meditating. He gave me another word. He says, God is using your past victories to prepare you for your greatest challenges. Yeah, can I read that again to you? God is using your past victories to prepare you for your greatest challenges. Woodrow Kroll actually captures this scene of what's going on as David. Man, he has faith to fight. He's walking in the Lord. He understands the graces of the Lord. He has a testimony. It says, since David had rescued sheep from his father's flock and with the help of God, he could see no difficulty in rescuing Israel, the sheep of God's flock, through the same trust in God. Does anybody have a testimony? I'm telling you, there are a lot of challenges that are before us, but think about what he's done in the past. There ought to be somebody that's shouting right now. Wasn't he a healer in the past? Wasn't he a deliverer in the past? Didn't he give you a word in the past? Didn't he lift you up in the past? Didn't he open up doors that had been shut in the past? If God can do it in the past, can't he do it now and do it in the future? The fact that Ebenezer has been established 122 years, we got a testimony of God's grace and the mercy. I'm glad that he is keeping us. He is focusing our mindset so that we can know walking with the Lord is everything, just a closer walk with him. It came to pass within this scripture that God says, you know what, I'm going to use somebody that you may not think I'm going to use. And I believe in this season and time, there's some people that are really crying out to the Lord and saying, God, use me. And he wants to use you. You've just got to submit yourself to him, walking with the Lord. Notice as this continues with David being used of God in 1 Samuel 17:37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I love this. His testimony continues to transition as he's walking with the Lord, and he's being used. God is using him in this season. Here's another point: faith in action. Yeah, when we have faith to fight and we've got a testimony, now our faith is in action. We put what we've learned and what God has spoken in our lives to action. That closer walk with him, as we're getting closer to him and we're learning more about him, we're praying more, we're reading the word, guess what? We've got to put that in action, because that's what God is matriculating on the inside of us. When we grow closer to God, something happens. The boldness of God comes in us. Yes, Proverbs 28:1 talks about this. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Isn't this David? As he is bold because he knows what his God can do. As we grow closer to God, we also can grasp the teachings of Jesus in Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." I just want to speak it into your life. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Isn't that amazing? I'm talking about walking with the Lord. Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." I'm telling you, God is saying, as you get closer to me, you learn about my will. Somebody just put in the chat, will, W-I-L-L, the will of God. Very powerful, because when we hear God's voice and we are closer to him and we know what he wants us to pray, now we can pray along with God's will, and those things have to come to pass. Notice, I don't want to forget this second part of 1 Samuel 17:37. "And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" See, if you look at that last part of that scripture, it's an exclamation mark on the end of it. Saul, King Saul, gets excited. He's like, this guy's like, "I can do it. I can do it. I can take this giant. I'll go out and I'll fight this Philistine because God is with me. I've got a testimony." And because there was passion in David, all of a sudden King Saul becomes passionate. The people around, they're passionate. And it's the same thing within our lives. As we grow closer to the Lord, passion will grow in us, and we will impact other people. We'll fire other people up. And I'm looking for a generation that's loving the Lord with their whole mind, soul, and strength, not just here on a virtual platform, but on Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when people around us, they can sense the glory of God rolling in our lives. They can sense the glory of God transforming us from day in and day out. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 17:38. "So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. 39, David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him." Here's another point. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Man, there's a lot packed within these scriptures. I just want to pull out some points here. King Saul actually wants to dress David in his armor. Yeah, this is the king's armor. It was the best of the land. They wanted to make sure that the king would be protected, King Saul at that time. And so what King Saul, he says, "I want you to take my armor. Man, you're showing a lot of faith, but you're still just 20 years old. You're going up against this giant. If you have my armor, it can protect you somewhat." And so as they clothe David in the armor of King Saul, he actually looks strong. He looks strong at this point with this armor around him. But please look at 1 Samuel 17:39, that second part. "And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off." When I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, the armor did make him strong, or look like he was strong in front of everybody else. But David had already grasped something. God can use me in my weakness. God can use me without armor. God can use me with all the tactical advances. And he can take those things things away, and I can be stronger in him because it's all about God's faith. There ought to be some shouts. There have been some times in your life and my life that we could have took a route that we looked stronger in the world's eyes, but aren't you glad for your faith and your trust in the Lord that we are recognizing when we're weak, then are we strong? David understood what Paul the Apostle grasped in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There ought to be some shouts. Therefore, I most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Anybody know that? If you know about that, just lift up your hand and say, Lord, I just thank you. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul goes on as he's moved to the Holy Spirit. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. David said, I don't need your armor. I'm just going to go as I am. Just a young 20-year-old trusting the Lord because I know what God can do. I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Remember, Jesus even grasped this thought pattern as he taught his disciples of being weak and strong. Let me show you walking with the Lord, Luke 10:3. Jesus said, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Yes, that weakness. I'm sending you out of state. You don't look strong in front of the world, but you got my anointing upon you. Luke 10:4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter in, first say peace to this house. Jesus wanted them to know that the Holy Spirit was sitting upon him. His anointing. Remember, Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure, and he just put it on them briefly at that time, but I'm so glad he goes to the cross of Calvary. We're going to talk about that. How many times have our relationship with God suffered simply because we tried to be the God of our circumstances? We tried to be in control and look big in the world's eyes when we needed to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Arthur Bird, a noted Christian author, he writes this. It was mind-boggling to me to just encapsulate this. He says, today God is in my circumstances. He is waiting for my surrender in order that he may continue his work, shaping me into a lively stone to be fitly framed together in his building, the church, the body of Christ, of which Jesus is the head. Humility is the mortar that binds us together in his love. God began this work gloriously, and he will finish it triumphantly. In these strange times, God is central in our circumstances. He is using them to reveal what is in us, either a heart that is self-ruled or of Christ rule. Wherever Jesus rules in the human heart, there is the kingdom of God established, and our lives bear fruit to his glory. Walking with the Lord. Yes, our situation and our circumstances, from COVID-19 to the war with Russia and Ukraine and the issues in our society to pressures that are in Winston-Salem and High Point and Greensboro, murder rates that are going up, people falling apart, political issues that are dividing our country. God is using those circumstances, and as Christians, we've got to know that our God is faithful. When we walk in the Lord, he can use our circumstances, those weak things of our lives, to make us strong in him. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Notice 1 Samuel 17:42, walking with the Lord. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. 1 Samuel 17:43. So the Philistines said to David, look at this. Am I a dog that you can come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 44th verse, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Wow. Here's a point. Attacks of the enemy. Yes, attacks of the enemy. See, when we get closer to the Lord and we decide we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to put that faith in action, we're going to trust the Lord, we've got a testimony, the enemy is going to try to push us away from the will of God. He's going to try to trip us up. He's going to try to bring distractions and fears within our lives. But we've got to understand God is still with us. Just because the enemy is coming at us, we've got to understand that God is faithful. Can you just write in the chat, he is faithful. He's been faithful careful. Don't let the enemy get in your mind. Don't let him get that junk talk in your mind. You've got to trust the Lord, because we already know what he can do, and we already know what he will do, because we're in his will, getting closer to him. Isaiah 59:19 talks more about this. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. There ought to be some hand raising now to know that God is putting up a standard. What the enemy meant for your harm, God has already turned it to good. There ought to be some. When you look back over your life and you see what God has done, when you didn't think you could make it, when there was some down times where you thought that the rope was gone, but God was holding you all the time, I'm telling you, you should shout and say, God, I thank you. The enemy will demean us, and he'll bring up our past mistakes. He'll try to humiliate us. He'll try to make us feel like we're nothing. But that's why we need to get closer to the Lord. That's why David was able to reach out, and he knew something. Man, even though Christ had not come at this point, David actually, he reaches over into New Testament promises. Let me show you Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Look at this. I love this verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God, and Father to him to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I just want to ask you a question. Do you know who you are? If you are saved and delivered, man, you are more than a conqueror. God is working in you. You have victory. No matter what the devil brings your way, please understand, God has already overcome. He has already taken us to the place we need to be. I'm telling you, he has raised up us up into spiritual places in heaven. That's what the scriptures talk about. We've got to know who we are in Christ. David has faith in the God of Israel, the one that would lead them a fire by night and a cloud by day. And I'm telling you, God is excited about David. Let me show you 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. I love this testimony. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. 1 Samuel 17:46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Can you just put in the chat, and you're sitting in your living room, say, this day, it's going to happen this day, David says, and I will strike you and take your head from you this day, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp. You might want to write again, this day is going to happen, a day of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in here. They said, I want you to know, this is bigger than me. It's not about me. I know you big, but I serve a bigger God. I've got a God that's more than enough. It's going to happen today. 1 Samuel 17:47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I'm telling you, aren't you excited about that? Here's the point. The battle is the Lord's. Yes, some of you need to get that, because you're up against some stuff. There's some struggles. There's some things that are coming your way. But as we're getting closer to the Lord, you got to say, the battle is the Lord. I know that he's already working it out. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to get closer to him. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. Ron Canole sang this song from his track, God is Able. He said, when the mighty men from the tribe of Judah faced the enemy, they were told by God not to be afraid. He would give the victory. He said, lift up a song and lay down the sword, for the battle is mine, says the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, make a joyful sound, lift your voices and let your praise resound. Sing a victory song in the time of war, trust in Jesus, the battle is the Lord's. I love this. When the evil one comes against you to fill your heart with fear, you can trust in God. He will never leave you. He promised to be near to you. You can lift up a song in the midst of the war, for the battle is mine, says the Lord. I dare there be anybody just lift up a song of praise to God right now in the midst of your trials and your tribulations, because you know the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel 17:47, that second part.
David says, the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. I'm telling you, I want you to encapsulate that in your spirit as you go through the week. Say, the battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. There's going to be some times that the irritation is going to come to you. You're going to be tempted to lose your cool, but I want you to just say, oh, the battle is the Lord's. I know it because I got in the word. David did it and God used David. I know God is going to use me as I'm getting closer to him. Look at 1 Samuel 17:48 as we pull this all together. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. 1 Samuel 17:49. And then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistines and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand, on the hand of David. 1 Samuel 17:51. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The final point, victory in the Lord. You might want to put this in the chat because I'm telling you, I believe some of you getting fired up right now thinking about what God is doing right now. You didn't know he was doing all of this, but we got victory in the Lord. Just say it. If you're not in the chat, say victory in the Lord. I got victory because I am walking in the Lord. Notice David here, he has these five smooth stones. We can say, you know, that's a semblance of grace, but I don't want to focus on those five stones. I just want to focus on that one stone. Look at this, 1 Samuel 17:49 again. David put his hand in his bag and he took out one stone. Can you put one in the chat? Can you say wherever you're sitting at, just one stone? And he slung it and he struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Now this is important. Won't God do it? Won't God? He's amazing. All it took was one stone. It didn't take five. All it took was one stone. He could have put one stone in his bag, but because he had faith, God was going to use it. I believe he could have reached on the ground and got a leaf and rolled it up and just threw it at him, but God's power would have been in that leaf and he would have still taken out the Philistine, all because it was not about David's power. It was not about him being the instrument per se that God had to use, but God, because of his grace and mercy, chose to use him. Can I say that again? So often we think God has to use us. He doesn't have to use us. He just chooses to use us and pour his grace and mercy upon us. And that's why we need to be excited and exhilarated that God would even use us with all our faults and all issues. David wasn't a perfect man, but I'm so glad that there's a better man than him. You know his name. The greater one is Jesus. The greater David is the Christ, the anointed one. See, the Lord showed us how to really give us an example of walking with the Father. He came from heaven to earth, walking among men. He heard the voice of the Father. He was walking with the Father. He beat the enemy with the word. Remember in Luke 4:4, but Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm so glad he showed us how to walk with the Lord. Remember when he was walking on the water and Peter, he looked at him, he said, if that's you, Lord, can I come and walk on the water with you? Peter was able to walk just for a bit, but all of a sudden fear came into his heart. And Jesus said, why did you fear? Oh, ye of little faith. He said that so many times, but aren't you glad he didn't stop right there? But he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and he allowed them to beat him all night long. He goes to the cross of Calvary. There he becomes the propitiation for our sins. He showed us what walking with the Lord. He said on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There ought to be some hand raised and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but he gets up with all power and all glory so that we could get closer to him, that we could have a closer walk with him, that we could be victorious in our lives, that we could pray with passion, that we can get in his word, that we can worship him, that people can know that we are the children of the Most High God. Are they any shouts of praise just to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us? Our souls should shout out hallelujah. Thank God for the opportunity to walk closer with the Lord. Thank you, God, for the example of David. But thank you mostly for your son, Jesus, that went all the way. Man, if I taught more about David, man, we'd have to deal with his shortcomings, his failures. But I am so glad to introduce you to a God that never failed, and he will never fail you. He is actually seated on the right hand of the Father right now, praying for us. Scriptures say that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that the Father has raised him from the dead, see, we will be saved. If you're out there and you haven't made this confession, know it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's the gift of God. We're talking about faith in action, walking with the Lord. How you can have a life filled with purpose, that you can know that God is using you in an amazing way. And as the old saying say, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. I encourage you today, cry out to him for the saints that are believers that love the Lord with your whole heart. God is calling us to more. Yes, to go deeper. For the young people who are saved, he's calling you to be used. Don't wait. God wants to use you today, whether you're a 20-year-old or you're a 15-year-old or you're a 12-year-old or you're an 8-year-old. Remember little Samuel being used of God. God speaks. He wants to use us. This is our season where darkness is coming in and we can see the imminent return of our Christ, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. Oh, he wants us to be used as light in this dark world. I want to encourage you. Let's walk with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for these scriptures that have been kept for us, Lord, that we can see the examples of you, God, working in others that chose to get closer to you. Lord, help us not to just read these pages, these scriptures, but help us to apply them to our lives, that we can be those that are used of you in this season and this time. Thank you, God, for saving souls, delivering and setting free. Thank you, God, for ordering our steps. Lord, we want to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? Yeah. And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? And whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer. Testifies, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, he lives. The very same God, there's been things in the orbits. He runs to the weary, the worn and the weak. And those same gentle hands holds me when I'm broken. And whose life he gave me the victory. Well, I know my Redeemer. Testifies, let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, he lives. The pain for my pain, and he lives forever. I'm gonna proclaim. For the
heaven, there's an empty grave. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testifies. Let this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer, he lives.
What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're with together today again on this virtual platform to take communion. I encourage you, if you haven't already, go ahead and get your articles. If you don't have communion cups, please get you some bread and some juice, and just prepare yourself to go into this holy time as we think about Jesus Christ and commemorate what he has done for us. I know even before we start, I was asking Bianca, I was like, are we good? Because simply this is important to make sure that we're not holding anything within our hearts. And I encourage you, if you're taking communion with someone, or even if there is something in your heart right now, 1 John 1:9 is very clear. It says, confess your sins before the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That is such good news. So before we even go into the scriptures and really meditate on what Paul the Apostle is speaking to us concerning the revelation he received from the Lord in communion, I'm going to ask Bianca if she would pray over the bread and the juice.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful sacrifice of your son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And we praise you and thank you for what he did even before dying on the cross, just to give us the symbolism of the bread and the juice, Lord, which symbolizes his body and his blood. We ask that you would bless these articles that we're about to partake in, so that we might remember your son and his sacrifice and all that you have done for us. We ask that you would bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Paul the Apostle really gets this picture of what happens in the upper room. You see this in 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I just want to stop there. I just want you to grab that picture and go, wow. Christ puts this forth that we can remember him and his sacrifice. It goes on to that 25th verse, and it says, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me.'" And it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So when we take this bread today and we drink of this cup, we're proclaiming what Christ did for us. And then that 1 Corinthians 11:27.
"Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup."
So before we take this, we do want to examine ourselves. As I said before, we want to make sure that we don't have anything that's in our heart that we're holding against someone. I just ask God to forgive you. He'll cleanse you right now. If that person is with you in the room or in the house, man, pause this communion. Go talk to them. Get it out and come back and take this communion. We want to examine ourselves. And then 11:29 says, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We want to discern the Lord's body. And then there's a big reason we want to get this right in the 30th verse. It says, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Literally, in Paul the Apostle's time, There were some that were coming in and not taking this in a manner that really lifted up or glorified God. And there were judgments that were sent upon their lives. But he gives us an understanding how we can realize how God uses this in 31st verse. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And final verse, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So as we take this communion today, I want us to really focus on the sacrifice of Christ and his mercies and his kindness. I have been listening to a book, I forget the author, but the title was Vinegar Boy. And it really zooms in on the situation of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and all that were involved in that. And the more I listen to this book, the more I'm appreciative of what Christ has done for us. Jesus, on that final Passover before his crucifixion, he's in the room with his disciples, that upper room, and they see it just as a regular Passover, but they don't realize that the Lamb of God will be sacrificed. He picks up the bread and he breaks it. He gets the disciples' attention and he says, "This is my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. Let us eat together." He grabs that goblet, and I can imagine the color is just significant, so significant at that point, because he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." When we think about that blood of Jesus, started out, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As you go through your day, as you go through your week, think about the awesome sacrifice of Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. But I want you to glorify that he got up on the third day with all power and all glory. And right now, he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. That is good news. So let's walk forth in him, and let's stay close. Let's get just a closer walk with him. Until we meet again, you be blessed.